Born in 1775, Jane Austen was one of eight children born to a middle-class family in a village in Hampshire, southeast England. Her books are often called novels of manners because they're based on carefully observed and satirized details of social interaction. Although Austen was living through a turbulent period with the Napoleonic Wars and the American struggle for independence in the background, in her books, she makes almost no reference to these conflicts. Instead, she focuses on social rather than military maneuvers and the high drama that can take place in the ballroom or while visiting someone for tea. Written over 200 years ago, Jane Austen's novels continue to delight readers with their romance, gossip, and above all, humor. They've inspired numerous film adaptations, sequels, and prequels, including almost 20 films, many television dramatizations and series, and even a so-called mashup novel called Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, with its own film version. All the books follow the same basic plot: young women looking for husbands. The characters, like Austen herself, are members of the English gentry, or middle class. Most of the female protagonists don't work, and so are dependent on marriage for their financial security. This means that the goal of almost every young woman in the novels is to find a husband who will bring with him stability, sufficient wealth, and social status. And of course, the best place to find a man is at a ball, the highlight of the social calendar. It's interesting to note that Jane Austen herself chose not to marry, although she did receive at least one offer that we know of. Two centuries have passed, but Jane Austen's quintessentially English books have many fans all around the world, some of them organized into literary societies. The largest of these is the Jane Austen Society of North America, which was founded in 1979 and now has over 5,000 members. In an interview with Speak Up, the Society's president, Liz Philosophus Cooper, talked about the lasting appeal and impact of Jane Austen's work.
She's an author you can read and reread throughout your life. The first time you read her, it's for the plot and the love story. But after that, it's for all the other things she's saying. She talks about economic justice. She talks about gender inequity. She talks about political oppression. These were revolutionary subjects to be writing about then, but they're still so pertinent. And I think that people read her, men and women, and identify with her themes. She also has the ability to nail these universal qualities about people. And we recognize people that we know in her characters. And she is funny, isn't she? You just end up laughing out loud at times.
After the 200 years, is there really a market for any more books about Jane Austen's life and work? According to Philosophus Cooper, there certainly is.
She is a force in the publishing world. There are books about her, her family, her friends, biographical books. There are certainly critical books and interpretive works. But then you get into the sequels, the reimaginings, the mashups, you name it, it's out there. If it's about Jane Austen, I think that there's a market for it. Amazon even has a whole category of Pride and Prejudice sequels and variations.
There have been numerous film adaptations of Austen's work. Some of these films stay quite close to the original text, but some don't. Philosophus Cooper explains why she isn't a purist about it.
I think that whatever brings someone to Jane Austen is a good thing. And if someone watches Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies and says, oh, you know, I'd like to read Pride and Prejudice, that's great. Who can argue with that? And then I think, too, every generation needs their own version of Pride and Prejudice, because Colin Firth isn't going to appeal to young people today anymore. So I'm looking forward to more adaptations.
The Netflix hit Bridgerton, like Jane Austen's novels, is set in England in the so-called Regency period of the early 1800s. Philosophus Cooper suggests why this Regency period might provide such a good setting for romantic drama.
Isn't it so interesting that you have this subculture of literature, the Regency romance, that is based on a few thousand rich people who lived in 1810? It's funny, but it's a highly restrictive society with a preoccupation on the importance of social consequence in behavior. So right there, you have built-in conflict.
The fact that Austen made a career as a writer in the early 1800s was remarkable, given the restrictions faced by women at the time. Philosophus Cooper explains more about what that writing career meant in practice.
I put together a timeline and laid in when she was writing, when she was editing, when she was proofreading, when she was negotiating with her publishers. And it ends up that it was a full-time job. I think it's a misconception that people have that she's this retiring woman writing in a cottage, but she was very involved in her career. She was committed to being a writer, did not accept a marriage of convenience, one that we know about, and I'm quite sure there were others, because it was important to her to be a writer.